His music's become a kind of soundtrack to all our lives. By the seaside, wanting to give someone the heebie-jeebies, you might start growling. At a moment of triumph, you might hum. Virtually every blockbuster of the past 40 years that you can think of has a score by John Williams.
I remember sitting in the office of the music director of Fox. This film, Star Wars, needs to have a large-scale symphonic orchestral sweep. George Lucas loved the idea.
Join me for John Williams, Composer of the Week, every weekday at noon and again at 6:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Yes, this is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio. You'll also find us in high definition online. It's 11:15, time now to join Claire Martin.
Roxy Music's Brian Ferry on Jazz Lineup. Why, of course, Brian celebrates 40 years of music making by releasing an intriguing album, The Jazz Age, which takes his rock music and reimagines it in the style of 1920s swinging jazz. Stay tuned for an interview with Brian and tracks from The Jazz Age later on the show. Also on this week's show, a special concert set from two of the most devoted guardians of straight swinging jazz, the virtuosic duo of reedsman Alan Barnes and guitar legend Martin Taylor, that was recorded at last year's 10th Scarborough Jazz Festival at the Grand Hall at the Spa. But let's start today with a track from saxophonist Courtney Pine, CBE, who had a terrific 2012, winning the British Jazz Awards for soprano sax and also enjoying the Jazzwise Award for Album of the Year with his latest release called House of Legends. Courtney's about to embark on a full UK tour to promote the album, which is a wonderful mix of jazz, merengue, ska, mento and calypso. Let's hear him in full party mood with a calypso called Le Amiga Cook Up.
Thank you.
welcome ray of Caribbean sunshine to melt away any bleak winter blues. That was the track Li Amiga, Cook Up, by Courtney Pine from his latest CD, House of Legends. And you can see Courtney at the Wiltshire Music Centre in Bradford-on-Avon on Friday the 25th of January. Down where I live in Brighton at the wonderful Comedia, that's on February on the 7th. And he's playing at the Stables in Waverden on the 10th. Well, Courtney's tour also takes him pretty much up and down the country, so for more information, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup webpage. Well, last year saw the Scarborough Jazz Festival celebrate its 10th anniversary in style with a rich and wide-ranging programme of world-class jazz musicians playing for capacity crowds in the venues in and around the Grand Hall at the Spa. Featured as an inspired duo, two of the UK's much-loved personalities definitely playing at the top of their musical game, guitarist Martin Taylor, long associated with Stefan Grappelli, and festival MC, the multi-award-winning reedsman Alan Barnes. In an intimate set which contains some beautifully crafted original material alongside their own reworkings of classic standards, Alan and Martin give a flawless performance in playing and listening, and as you can hear, delight the dedicated fans of Scarborough as they weave their magic. Let's start with their opening track, I Won't Last a Day Without You. In concert, Martin Taylor and Alan Barnes.
Thank you. This was written by Henry Mancini for a movie called Two for the Road. And two of the featured musicians on the theme were my old boss, Stefan Grappelli. And on the accordion was a gentleman that's actually in our midst this evening, the great Jack Emblow. He's here this evening. So we're going to play this, especially for Jack this evening, Two for the Road. Thank you.
Henry Mancini's Two for the Road ending tonight's highlights of a very special duo concert set by Martin Taylor and Alan Barnes, recorded especially for Jazz Lineup on Friday the 28th of September at the 2012 Scarborough Jazz Festival. And remember, you can check out the playlist via the Radio 3 website for all information on the music featured tonight. I'm Claire Martin and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio, and you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. I must admit to being more than surprised to be given the opportunity to talk to pop star Brian Ferry about his latest album called The Jazz Age. And I was keen to find out if he was simply just jumping on the bandwagon of popsters that seem to be delighting in re-recording highlights of their career with orchestras, or even going the whole hog and venturing into the Great American Songbook as a semi-reinvention to aid their flagging careers. But Brian Ferry, who already dipped into standard territory with his 1999 release, As Time Goes By, seems to have made the unprecedented decision not to sing on any of his famous tracks, reworked for The Jazz Age, and instead has turned them into 1920s swing-style affairs. Brian tells me about his deep love of jazz that started out very early in his musical life and how he came to put this new project together. Well, you may recognise the first tune. Let's hear how Do the Strand now sounds with this completely new version. The Brian Ferry Orchestra with Do the Strand from the brand new album The Jazz Age, and it's my great pleasure to welcome to the Jazz Lineup Studios Brian Ferry. Welcome.
Hi.
I'm very curious to find out when your fascination for The Jazz Age began.
Well, about 1954, I guess about 9 years old, and there was a lot of kind of jazz being played on the radio then because of the trad revival, you know. So all these English bands like Humphrey Lyttelton, Chris Barber, Ken Collier, they were all very popular. And through listening to them, you sort of found my way to Louis Armstrong and King Oliver, that kind of 20s music first, then I made my way through the 30s, 40s and 50s. There's so many great figures in jazz. Mm. And I used to kind of study it every week, reading all the jazz papers every week. And I was pretty obsessed by jazz for quite a few years. Until like the evil world of rock and roll took over.
Did you not ever think, oh, fancy being a jazz singer then? I mean, if you were so into it, you say you were.
Not really, because I really didn't do any singing until much later.
Oh, right.
And didn't start singing until about 18 or something like that.
And that's still very
young. Yeah, I was just a big fan. Okay. I just loved listening to it. I used to learn all those notes. All the solos.
Did you?
Yeah, in my record collection, yeah.
So you're attracted to improvisation and about the melodies. So I'm asking you, as a singer to a singer, as a pop singer, is it a very different discipline sort of not to stray away from the melody? Would you like to be able to improvise more?
When I'm writing songs, I guess I try things out a lot, you know, improvise until I fix on the melody that I really want for the song, you know. So I guess there's a lot of experimenting goes on at that stage. But my favourite singer in the jazz idiom has always been Billie Holiday, you know. And she was very inventive and very soulful and a great quality to her voice. Mm. And she was probably my favourite all time, really.
How did you know it was the right time for you to revisit these songs?
How this album came about was that I, for years, wanted to do an instrumental album. I often thought when I was kind of making my own records that it's a shame that people couldn't hear it like this as an instrumental, because I obviously heard it a lot before I got to sing on each song, mm-hmm. because I tend to do the singing towards the end of each project.
Do you think it just goes to show, sort of thing, that a strong melody can withstand reinvention in any style? I mean, it's...
Well, melody is very important to me, and it's, as I say, you know, when I'm writing songs, I guess that's the thing I concentrate on the most, maybe, is not only the melody that's coming from the voice, but from the various instruments that are supporting it or playing around it, you know. And it's something that isn't so strong in a lot of music today, probably. The 20s, however, as well as having great kind of vitality in the rhythms and stuff of the music, is so much melody and such great playing, you know, which appeals to me. And it's a bit, sometimes it seems a bit naive, the music, from our perspective, but over the last few years, since I've been going back more and more to listening to jazz, and especially instrumental jazz, I'm really taken by what a genius Louis Armstrong was,
absolutely.
Or Louis Armstrong, if you prefer.
Yeah. And when you heard the album at the end, weren't you tempted just sing one of them? Didn't you want to add the vocals on? It's quite a brave thing not to sing.
I did sing a couple the other night, funnily enough. We had a launch of the album, and since I was there with the band, I said, well...
I might as well.
I thought I'd make the effort, and when I take the band on tour later this year, it'll be October, November, then I'll be singing some of them with the band then, although we'll have our rock band also.
Before we play the next track, which is Avalon, I wanted to ask you, did you just have a sort of gut feeling about which songs would work in the style, or did you try many initially to see what would work and fit?
Yeah, but I worked very closely with Colin Good, who is the piano player I've worked with for the last dozen years, say, and he worked with me on the 30s album I did, and a lot of these players also played on that record. Mm. So I've known them all for a long time. So we have quite a good rapport, I think. And certain tunes seem to me pretty obvious ones to try, like Love is the Drug was one, and a lot of the kind of more familiar songs, more well-known ones, I thought would work because people could get the tune, you know. Mm. But the slow, more melancholy ones are my favourites, which are the ones that are done more under the influence of the early Duke Ellington band, you know, the Cotton Club era, where he played the stuff he called jungle music, which was kind of beautifully arranged. And it's just more, more sophisticated than the New Orleans stuff from the same decade, of course. But, I like those a lot.
Well, let's hear the track in the new style. This is Avalon. Thank you. Avalon from the Jazz Age, and I'm very glad to be talking to Brian Ferry about this new album. So you talked a bit about Colin Good there, but tell me more about the musicians and the arrangements. Was it Colin that had...
Colin is a brilliant arranger, and although I sometimes know pretty much what I want, but he is my kind of interpreter, if you like, because he knows how to do all the dots in the right place. I'm pretty good, I think, at head arrangements. That's what I do. And if he comes up with this, trying it like this, I'll say, how about if the tenor sax does the solo instead of that? Or And I don't know, I do it by instinct. And just, gut instinct, really.
Where did you record it and the process of recording it? Did you use old instruments? It sounds so authentic.
We did it at my studio in Hammersmith,
okay,
where I work every day pretty much. And in the old days, they would have one mic in the centre of the room and they'd all position themselves around it. But we had them all in the same room, and we had room mics, of course, but we had individual miking as well. And we did use old microphones, vintage ones, which... kind of look good. They didn't have to be those. And
what about vintage drum kits?
The drummer uses a vintage drum kit.
Yeah.
And these players, they play a lot of this kind of music, so they live in that era a lot. And there's a lot of watch chains going around and this kind of thing.
I was going to say, are they?
It's great to have the bass saxophone. That's something I'd never worked with before. So instead of a double bass, a lot of the tracks we use. Richard White plays beautiful bass sax, and that also he plays as a lead instrument as well, as like doing the bass part. Great clarinet players, the tenor is beautiful, and the trumpet player, Enrico Tommaso, who played with me,
I know him very
10
well.
Years
he's
ago,
such a good fun guy.
He's
isn't
amazing,
he?
But he has such a beautiful sound, and he actually met Louis Armstrong when he was a young lad.
I know, yeah, I remember.
And
that story.
He told me that he corresponded with him until Armstrong died. And so I like to feel he has the spirit of him when
he's got the energy, that's for sure.
Yeah,
he's full of life, isn't he? And Alan Barnes is on this
Alan
record.
Barnes, yeah. Alan's playing clarinet here. He normally plays sax, but he's a great clarinet player too.
So are you hoping to attract sort of new trad jazz fans with this album? And what's the reaction, or what do you think the reaction would be like from your fans? Do you think they'll...
I'd like to think that the fans of mine who kind of, listen to the record because they like the songs, will maybe discover a new interest in jazz. You never know. And it'll open a door of discovery for them. You know, they listen to Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong, King Oliver, Kid Ory, all the great people from that period. And then, as I did, move on to Coleman Hawkins and then Charlie Parker and others, There's an awful lot of great music out there.
Sure. And what about the trad fans? Do you think
trad
gonna...
isn't a word I like. It's kind of... some weird associations, really, of like, which nowadays
I mean.
Terribly uncool still. I'd like to make jazz cool again, or help to anyway.
You're on. You're on. Yeah. So let's just finish with the next track, and maybe you can tell me a bit more about it. It's another Roxy Music classic, Virginia Plain, and originally featured Madcap Synth Breakout by Maverick record producer Brian Eno. What do you think Brian would make of this new version, and do you keep in touch?
Funny enough, he emailed me, and... is loving it, so I'm very, very pleased, because he co-wrote one of the songs in here, one I did, one of my solo albums called I Thought. And he said some very complimentary things, and I'm very pleased. Virginia Plain was the first single that we ever did with Roxy, and the first single I ever put out. And this is a slightly different version, and it's led by Richard White on clarinet, and it's very different.
Well, let's listen to Virginia Plain, and good luck with this. It was a pleasure to meet you, Brian Ferry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Virginia Plain, the first hit single by Roxy Music, reimagined by Roxy Music creator himself, Brian Ferry. And the CD, The Jazz Age, is out now on BMG Records. I'm Claire Martin, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. With jazz soul singer Jose James releases his debut album, No Beginning, No End, on Blue Note Records. Let's hear a track from that now, and this is Trouble.
Don't talk to me, baby. Some don't say yes. Troubling me, we got to try and figure out some kind of way to go. Step around the way of dangers flow, so we can let it go. Say, I need someone like you to understand my heart, babe, and my soul. So my baby, it's always a trouble. Since we've been apart, baby, I can't figure out which way to go in my life. Yeah. Well, since you left my heart and by my side, you'll never leave me. But through wrong and through right, oh, folks, I need someone like you to understand my
jazz soul singer Jose James from his new CD, No Beginning, No End, Trouble. Well, that's almost this week's show over. Check out the playlist via the Radio 3 website for all information on the music featured tonight. Next week on Jazz Lineup, please join me for concert music from American Vibes master Christian Tambour. And remember, plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11 o'clock. And this week he features Anthony Braxton and his Falling River Music Quartet. We're closing tonight's show. Let's hear from the iconic band leader and saxophonist Wayne Shorter as he returns to Blue Note after a 43-year absence with his quartet. We've chosen the track Orbits. From me, Claire Martin, until next time, bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night. I'm Nicola Christie and I'm delighted to have your company. We start as we mean to go on today, with a young and brilliant talent who brings to life the music of Bach, Chopin, Rachmaninoff and Tchaikovsky. Her name is Claire Huangsi. She's a pianist and she's just 19 years old. We sit in on a complete recital with her, with highlights including Tchaikovsky's Sleeping Beauty and Saint-Saëns' Danse Macabre, both arranged for piano. The performance took place in Geneva in 2011. Huangsi began with Bach's Partita in the French style, in B minor. Thank you.